A Conversation with Anne by Anne Sullivan. Anne and I were sitting in a kebab place in Barcelona one night, just catching up. We hadn't seen each other for several months. It was noisy, as Thursday nights are in this city, and we had to shout a bit to hear each other over the noise. We were chatting a bit about the usual stuff: work, books, men, our kids. When the waiter brought our food, as he walked away, she said, "That waiter, he's..." But it was so noisy in the bar, I couldn't hear her. "Speak up," I said. "That guy's what?" "He's Palestinian." "How do you know?" "See the pendant he's got on? It's a map of Palestine." When the waiter came over, Anne asked him about his pendant. She told him that she'd been to Palestine. Instead of being pleased, as she'd expected, he got quite defensive. Rather than smiling, he started to question her. "What part of Palestine?" When she replied she'd been to Gaza City, he loosened up a bit, and, as he saw how much she really knew about Palestine and the Palestinians, he finally looked pleased. He called over another of the waiters, another Palestinian. He kept saying, "You've really been to my country," like he couldn't get over it. After they went back to work, their boss had told them off for spending so much time at our table. I said, "What was that all about? Why did he seem so pissed off when you first said you'd visited Palestine?" Anne explained that, with her dark curly hair, they may have thought she was Jewish. I was often taken for an Israeli when I lived in Gaza. "Perhaps the waiter thought I was looking for a fight," she said, "or showing off. I probably should have kept quiet." Over dinner, we carried on chatting about Palestine. "I didn't know you'd worked there," I said. "I knew you'd worked in Egypt, but not Palestine." "I worked in a British Council summer school in Gaza, just for a month," she said. "And why Gaza?" "I mean, it's not everyone's first choice for a holiday." "Oh, well, the first time I went to the Middle East, I went to work on a kibbutz. My dad had just passed away and I was pretty messed up. I dropped out of college and decided to travel. But I hadn't saved up much money, so I needed to go somewhere where they'd put me up for free. A kibbutz seemed a good idea at the time." "And how was it? Did it live up to your expectations?" "Well, I didn't have many expectations, to be honest. I just wanted to travel and see how things turned out. The kibbutz was hard work, but a lot of fun at times too. We had some pretty good parties." "And what kind of work did you do?" "Well, most of the people who lived on the kibbutz were permanent residents, kibbutzniks. But then there were about 20 of us volunteers, made up of travellers from all around the world. We had a kind of rota, pitching in wherever they needed us. So I worked in several different jobs when I was there. In the factory, they made electric fans. I worked on the production line, putting the pieces together. Then I also helped out in the kitchen, making breakfast. And I mustn't leave out the best job, cleaning the toilets and bathrooms." "So, not exactly a holiday. You worked really hard." "Yeah, but we had time off, like I said, and we made the best of it. I got away a lot on the weekends, saw different parts of Israel and Palestine." "And so from Israel, you went on to Gaza?" "No, from Israel, I went back to the UK. I'd done a short trip to Egypt from Israel, and I loved it. So I decided to go back to England and learn to be an English teacher. I thought it would open up all sorts of opportunities to travel, starting with Egypt." "And how did that work out?" "Brilliantly. I got my certificate and couldn't wait to be off. So exactly 2 months later, I was back in Egypt, in Alexandria, teaching English. I loved it. The noise, the chaos, the crowds, the heat. It was so different to home." "How did your mother feel about you going away again?" "Mum was okay. It was my boyfriend that was the problem. He wanted me to stay in England. We talked and talked, but eventually he saw that he couldn't hold me back. He gave in the end. He said it was okay, that he'd wait for me, and maybe come out and visit in a couple of months. And? Did he wait? For a while. But I think we were having ourselves on. We were young and a long way apart. Not surprisingly, it ended in tears. About a month after I arrived in Egypt, we split up, after several anguished phone calls. I was pretty sad for a while, but I couldn't really expect him to wait while I travelled the world. So, Egypt. But I still don't know how you ended up in Palestine. Ah, well, while I was in Egypt, the opportunity came up to work at a summer school in Gaza City. I jumped at the chance to get back to a region I loved, only this time to work with the Palestinians. I signed up right away. And how was it? I have to admit that Gaza falls into the category of cities I don't want to visit. When I think of Gaza, I think of bombs, refugee camps. Yeah, well, that is part of it. In fact, the trip nearly fell through because the political situation was really getting bad. But then things seemed to calm down, so they let me go, after all. And how did you find it when you got there? Well, Gaza is an ancient city with an amazing history. It was inhabited by the ancient Egyptians, the Romans, the Ottomans. A lot of the old buildings and ruins are still there, and the modern city is a mix. Some parts are awful, but others are very beautiful. And there's a beach too. We often went to the beach. Oh, I hadn't realised. And where did you live when you were there? Oh, they put us up in a nice apartment. Very new, modern, with air conditioning. It was a dramatic contrast to the bombed out buildings just down the street. And what were the kids in your class like? Weren't they traumatised? To, you know, freaked out to study? I'm sure a lot of kids were, but the ones who came to the summer school seemed to be dealing with it. The classes were mixed, adults and kids together in some of them, and I found them to be very different from the Egyptians I'd taught. They live in a country which they feel is constantly under threat, and in fact a country that is bombed at times by their enemies. In many parts of Gaza City, you can see the ruins of bombed out buildings and the poverty of families that have lost everything. And there is always that awareness and maybe fear of Israel. Just by closing the borders, Israel can shut down half the businesses in the Gaza Strip. Obviously, this affected the students. The themes that touched on their daily lives came up in class constantly. It made for some interesting discussions and sometimes quite lively arguments. I'd learned so much during that month in Gaza. And was it dangerous for you at all? Was Palestine actually at war then? The second Intifada started during my third week. Yeah, it was pretty scary. And things were tense before that too. In the weeks leading up to the Intifada, it was clear that trouble was coming, that things were hotting up. I remember one day, a friend and I wanted to go to Jerusalem. To get there, we had to leave Gaza and cross part of Israel. We went on a Friday. We had Fridays off. And the trip over was okay. I mean, we had to cross through checkpoints along with everyone else, but we had no problems. We had a great day looking around Jerusalem, topped off with a late lunch and far too much wine. Anyway, it was getting late by the time we headed for home. We tried to pick up a bus, but discovered that the service had closed down for the Sabbath, from Friday night to Saturday night. We had to catch a taxi back to Gaza. The taxi wouldn't take us all the way home. He said it was dangerous for him to go any further, and we would have to walk the last 2 or 3 kilometres to our home in Gaza City. We started walking, feeling put out, but not particularly worried. Then, suddenly, a jeep pulled up in front of us. 4 young Israeli soldiers jumped out, all pointing guns and shouting at us. Shabbat Shalom, I said, which is the greeting for the Sabbath in Hebrew. but it didn't stop them pointing their guns and questioning us very aggressively. They wanted to know where we had been, where we were going, why, everything. It was scary. We knew we weren't doing anything wrong, but they were really hyped up and they had big guns. And as I said earlier, this was a tense time in Israel and Gaza. We tried not to let on that we were scared. We did exactly what they said and just prayed that we'd get home again. In these situations, your imagination can run away with you and you start to see yourself in tomorrow's newspaper headlines. But it turned out okay in the end. They escorted us to the border at gunpoint, very unfriendly, and practically pushed us over the border into Gaza. We were very glad to be home. Even though there were bombs going off. Well, that was the next week. For now, there were no bombs, but the electricity got cut off quite regularly, and so was the water, and a lot of shops and businesses were closing down. It was clear something bad was coming. And it did. Yeah. During my last week. That's when the bombs started to fall, and there were warning sirens going off all night. I wasn't sorry to leave in the end, though I was really glad to have been able to visit Gaza. Would you go back? Like a shot if the opportunity came up. I'd really like to go back and look up some of my old students, maybe visit some of the places I used to hang out.